bees will only sting when they're defending their nest, generally speaking, unless you do something silly. But you know, they're there to defend their nest, and they don't do it willingly, really. It's an instinct that comes to them when their nest is under threat. And when they've stung you, they die. So, you know, they're not going to do it just for the fun of it, that's for sure.
No, indeed. I mean, look, we've heard a lot about Asian hornets, which is one of the reasons we wanted to get you on tonight and chat to you about it. It's a concerning situation, isn't it? Tell us where we are with it currently, Alan.
Well, currently with the Asian hornet, last year we had an incursion, mainly in the southeast of England, around Kent, around a place called Cuppell of Firm, which is where the White Cliffs of Dover are. And there was quite a substantial incursion there, and there was something like 72 nests found, mainly in the southeast of England, a couple in Hampshire near Southampton, and a few further down the country in Plymouth and Cornwall. We hope that most of the nests were eradicated, but the danger is that if one of the nests wasn't eradicated and new emerging queens have gone from there into hibernation, they will then come out of hibernation this spring and found their own colonies. And that's the beginning of an established colony here. So we hope that that's not going to happen. So beekeepers all over the south of England are putting out traps and monitoring stations to try and catch them before they can take hold. But we want the public to be very much aware of this insect. It's dangerous to humans and to wildlife, to all the pollinators, not just the bees, but pollinators and all the insects, because they're voracious apex opportunist predators, and they'll completely clear a whole area of all the insects in no time at all. And if you go near their nest, they build huge nests. They can be half a metre or three-quarters of a metre across. If a human goes near the nest within 5 metres and disturbs it, they'll come out mob-handed and inflict really painful, deep, deep stings. So you don't want that to happen. So we want people to be very much aware of what they are, what they look like. They're about 25 millimetres long, so they're about twice as big as a normal wasp. They're mainly black with an orange face and yellow legs. Their legs look as if they've been dipped into paint, and they make a humming noise like a little bit like a Chinook helicopter. So if you see one of those, then don't approach it. If you've got your mobile phone, take a photograph. But better still, download on your phone a thing called the Asian Hornet Watch app. It's free on iPlayer and Google. And all you do then is you point the phone, zap it, and all the data will then go to the what's called the Non-Native Species Secretariat. They will validate it, and they will alert one of our local Asian Hornet teams to go out and identify and deal with the problem.
It's so serious stuff, isn't it, Alan?
It is very serious stuff, yes. I mean, we've got a network of, in Hampshire, we've got 14 Asian Hornet teams, and these are all beekeepers who are volunteers, and they volunteered to train to learn how to deal with the Asian Hornets and make sure that we keep the public safe and also to protect our insects. But if you think about it, if there are no insects, then there are no birds. If there's no insects, there's no pollination, so there'd be no apples or pears or grapes. The potential economic impact is enormous. I think they estimated something like 300 million euros lost to agriculture alone in France last year.
Wow.
The impact on things like tourism or on your local golf course. Imagine you've got a couple of Asian hornet nests on your golf course. Nobody's going to want to go and play golf there. It's got all sorts of implications.
Yeah, when you break it down like that, the wider implication, as you say there, it's quite drastic, actually, for a creature like that, really, isn't it?
It's incredible. It's an amazingly beautiful insect. It's very skilled. It's a very highly skilled hunter. Its aerial combat is impressive to watch. And they are very, very well adapted to the environment. But they came in originally into France in a consignment of garden pots from China. So they came in on a shipping from China in a container, probably, through the port of Marseille in France. The truck made its way to a garden centre somewhere northeast of Bordeaux. And there, this hibernating Asian hornet queen then woke up and set up its nest. And since then, they're in every country in North and Western Europe and all down into Spain and Portugal. And there are literally thousands and thousands of them all over continental Europe. So we really don't want them here.
No. So we need to eradicate it. It's not very easy, though, to eradicate it, I'm guessing.
It's not easy to eradicate. They hide their nests very well. They're often hidden in trees, high in trees or in brambles where you can't see them. So you don't see them until they're too late. And what happens? They start out with a newly mated queen who's hibernated over the winter. She wakes up in the spring. Then she will start to build her own little nest, and it's just a tiny little thing about the size of a golf ball. And there she will lay her first eggs. She's very cold and weak and exhausted from her hibernation, so she has to go out and feed for herself and then for her babies. And it's during that period that she's feeding that we hope to be able to trap her, so she can't continue. If we don't catch her, then the eggs hatch into larvae. She feeds them, and they then become workers. And then they take over the job of providing food for the nest. So the queen then stays in the nest. Then they build a bigger and bigger nest and perhaps move to a new site. And they build up their population very, very rapidly all the way through the spring and the early summer. Until in midsummer, mid to late July, they've reached their maximum population. And that's the time when they're really after our honeybees particularly.
Then in the autumn they
mate. So males are born in the autumn, and they go out and mate with the females. The females go into hibernation, and then the males, the old queen, and all the old workers, the old nest dies completely. And it's the queens that we need to catch then the following year if we can.
So is it an ongoing process, Alan? Sorry.
It's an ongoing process, but the growth is exponential. It's the same arithmetic as COVID. You know, it's exponential growth. And so once they take roots, then they'll really expand extremely rapidly and go completely out of control.
Wow. OK, so we obviously don't want that to happen.
Don't want that. So we want the public to really help keep their eyes skinned.
Yeah, it's very serious, isn't it? And as you say, there are a lot of implications, not just for the wildlife, but certainly for us as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
There was an Asian hornet nest in a schoolyard in France last year. Imagine. Doesn't bear thinking about, really.
It doesn't, does it? When you sort of break it down like that, it doesn't, no. You can't even get your head around that to even contemplate that, isn't it? It really doesn't bear a bit thinking about at all. And it's quite staggering that a creature like that can, I guess in some ways, bring everything to a grinding halt.
But it's important for people to understand it's not just a beekeeper's problem, it's everybody's
problem. Everyone's problem.
I mean,
we don't hear so much of it at the moment. I mean, we hear bits and pieces of it, but I'm guessing, is there much awareness going out there about this issue? Could more be done, do you think?
In the southeast around Kent, there's plenty of awareness because the beekeepers down there, they've been carrying out massive publicity campaigns, putting out leaflets, being on local radio and television, in the newspapers. Recruiting local people to help them. So in Kent, lots of people know about it, but in the rest of the country, perhaps fewer people.
So we need
to correct that. But we need accurate reporting from the media. There have been quite a lot of reports about Asian hornets in the press with the wrong photograph, and they've shown photographs of either the European hornet, which is our native hornet, which is completely harmless, or the giant murder hornet, which they have in America. And not getting it right. So you want accurate, responsible reporting from the media too.
Yeah. In terms of our own bees, I'm guessing now we'll come into bee season, aren't we? As spring's sort of springing now, Alan. So we need to do our bit really to protect them.
Yes, we do. And not just the honeybees, but all the other bees that live in our gardens. One of the things you can do is not cut your dandelions. If you can leave your dandelions, that's a really important source of food for the bees just coming out of hibernation, because they're cold, they're hungry, they're starving. So they can feed on dandelions and other early spring flowers, which are really important. The other thing you can do in your garden is not have your borders too tidy. Bumblebees, as everybody loves, they hibernate for the winter under beds of leaves. So if they're in your border areas, If you leave the leaves on there, then the bees can go to sleep underneath and they'll be safe. So that's another thing you can do to really help them. And please don't use pesticides in your gardens. It might make your garden look pristine, but it's devastating for bees particularly.
I mean, it's a message getting out there about pesticides and things like that. Are you finding now a lot? We're not using it as much perhaps we were 10 years ago or so.
I think that's very much the case. People are becoming very much more aware, yeah, and taking a much more responsible attitude towards it, really. Agriculture is a problem with neonicotinoids. The government keeps issuing licenses for them to be used again. I don't think we've got that problem in our immediate vicinity here, but certainly in other parts of the country where there's a lot of agriculture and a lot of arable and rapeseed oil and other crops, the farmers are using it there, and that's pretty devastating for pollinators.
Yeah, it's hard work. It's a tough one, isn't it, really, with all this going on? It doesn't bear thinking about what would happen if we had no bees at all, if we ever got to that stage. I mean, let's touch wood and hope we don't. But obviously, it is an issue which people do need to be aware of. And I'm guessing joining an association such as yourself, as a Hampshire one or even the Fairman District, because there are several out there people can get involved with, it's a good idea to perhaps join something like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you want to learn about keeping bees, then join one of your local beekeeping associations. There's one in Portsmouth, there's Fareham. There are 14 in Hampshire altogether. And they run beginner's courses. They have talks and lectures all the way through the year and demonstrations. So it's a good way to learn about beekeeping. And if you think beekeeping is for you, then we can help you set up with your first colony of bees. So it's a very good thing to do. It's a fabulous hobby.
Yeah.
It's just endlessly fascinating. And you get some nice honey and wax and things like that as well for your trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you get all the nice things too, isn't it? And
you get all
the
nice things.
Yeah, the honey and etc.
Yes. But I've got 20. I got 20 colonies. I've got some in my garden.
Yeah.
And then some in different places, and so I get a lot of honey. And my wife likes doing things with wax, and we cook with honey all the time. We don't use any sugar in our
food. Wow. But I mean, Alan, that's all good old fashioned Hampshire honey too.
It's local honey. It's Cattersfield honey.
Look at that. Who would have thought? Brilliant stuff. Yeah, local stuff too. Brilliant stuff. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Because with bees, you don't realise. I mean, people say beeswax, but you don't necessarily connect with actually, it's actually come from a bee.
Absolutely. You'd be amazed by how they do it. But they, when bees are a certain age, between about 12 and 18 days old, their wax glands become active, and they extrude little flakes of wax from the underside of their abdomen, and then they chew it with their jaws, and mix it a little bit with nectar to make it sticky, and they stick it together in the most perfect honeycomb patterns, always exactly the same shape, exactly the same size, exactly the same dimensions, and they build it in a pattern, so it's a whole sheet of this beautiful wax. And they hang in skeins from one to the other. They're like little bits of scaffolding inside the hive whilst they're doing it. It's fabulous. You just can't... You can't beat it, can you?
You can't beat it at all. Absolutely not. Oh, bless you. Alan, look, we're almost out of time. But, I mean, it's lovely talking to you. Thanks for coming on tonight and telling us about it. And the benefits, really, of joining an association, really, the local association can provide all the information about, as you say, starting and getting involved in beekeeping, that kind of thing. And obviously with the latest situation in terms of the Asian hornet sort of threat, really, it's quite a biggie, that one, really.
It is quite a biggie, but we're developing ways of teaching beekeepers how to deal with the Asian hornet. And I was a beekeeper in France when I first started, and we had them there. And I learned to manage my colonies differently. Just to get them through the period of what's called predation, when the hornets are hunting in the summer.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed.
We can crack it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we can do that. But yeah, we don't lose the bee. That's the last thing we want to do is lose the bee, obviously.
We certainly don't.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. But again, if people want to find out more about beekeeping, it's to go to their local association, or and they can do that just searching for Hampshire Beekeeping, I'm guessing.
Yes, so they've all got websites.
Yeah.
And there are phone numbers you can ring or email addresses you can contact, or just go online and search your nearest local beekeeping association. They'll be pleased to help you. If you're going to do it, join an association and learn first, because there is a lot to learn.
And not just go into it blind, really sort of think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the benefits, I'm guessing, of joining a local association. As you say, they can teach you all the basics and how to get started.
Well, exactly. Yeah, because they're not pets, It's not like buying a dog or a cat.
No.
You'll end up with 50,000 what are really wild animals, you're responsible for this livestock. So you've got to have a responsible attitude towards it, because they can be dangerous to you and to your neighbours and so on. So it's a big responsibility. But a joyous one.
Yeah, that's a good way of sort of thinking about it, isn't it? A wild animal.
Yeah.
We take it for granted, I suppose, in some ways, don't we? So that's
well,
the
we
thing,
do. Yeah, I mean, we're farmers. We breed and look after livestock in the same way that farmers do.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Alan Baxter, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for coming on tonight. I'm sure perhaps we can come back to you later on the year and just see how the situation is, if that's okay with you, and get a bit of an update.
I'll be delighted.
Bless you. But Alan Baxter, thanks tonight for coming on and chatting to us. All right, we'll keep your details and come back to you later on in the year. All right, Alan, for now, thanks for coming on. Cheers, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye. Alan Baxter, there he is from Hampshire Beekeeping, and particularly the Asian Hornets. Bit of a threat, so look out for them and do a Google search for your local organisation. And also, there's one in Ferm, which we touched on there, of course, fermbka.co.uk is their address if you fancy getting involved in that. Or indeed, find out how perhaps to get involved in beekeeping. There's a thing. Very therapeutic, I imagine, particularly if the weather is better, no less.